2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you, Angela, for that beautiful song. We've looked at this passage for a couple Sundays or three. One of them back in September and the other two the last 2 weeks. Inner cleansing from sin or of sin. Deeper consecration of self. Outward conformity to Christ. We're going to look at that last one this morning. Not in exactly those words, but that is the one of the outlines that I gave you. And that is the basis for what we're looking at this morning. Scott Clemens spoke at Youth Challenge, I believe it was yesterday morning. Though I didn't hear it, I'd like to go and hear it. He spoke to the young people at Youth Challenge yesterday, and a statement that he made that someone posted on Facebook stood out to me. You are, or you will be, what your habits are. You will be what your habits are. And he was speaking, apparently, he was speaking from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I don't know exactly what translation he was using, but I believe the Amplified was close to what he was saying. Train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. We've been looking at this passage, a life of separation or the inner cleansing of sin, life of consecration or a deeper consecration of self. Now we're going to look at a life of habitation or outward conformity to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let me once again begin reading with verse number 14. Do not be equally or unequally yoked. Let me jump over here to the King James instead of the comparable here. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. Here's our text passage this morning. I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I like that text that Scott was using yesterday. Train yourself to be godly. A life of habitation. It's a life of habitation or an outward conformity to Christ. You say, well, what is that? What does that really mean? Just for a few minutes this morning, let's take a look at it and try to understand what it is to be a habitation of the King of Kings, God, the Divine. The one who hates sin with a passion, if we could say it that way. He hates sin with everything that is in him, everything that he is made of, everything of who he is. He hates sin, and yet the golden text of the Bible is what? God so loved the world. We struggle with that sometimes. People struggle with that sometimes. We think that if we love somebody, that we're in some way cahoots with their sin. And yet we read through the entirety of Scripture that God hates sin in every form, in every fashion, in every place, and yet He loves people. He loves people so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die in our place. When we really allow that to saturate our mind and our heart, it's powerful. So when we look at this and we recognize that that God wants to dwell in, the Amplified said, I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them. I wonder, is the writer here saying, is this a suggestion that this life of habitation is a saturation of God? Can you see it? He wants to live in, with, and among. He wants to walk in and with and among. He will be their God and they shall be His people. There's a saturation that is taking place or has taken place. When I give the brush of my will back to Him. There's the inwardness of His presence. The inwardness of His presence where He dwells in the person. And that inwardness of His presence that saturates the inward heart, the inward life, the inward man, the inward person. There is something about that that would bring us to the realization that there is an enlightening to the mind, an enlivening to the heart, where He changes, He quickens, and gives us that same disposition, that nature. He energizes the will or enthuses the heart, somebody said. The inwardness of His presence saturates us and changes us so that we are what? We are like Him. We are like Him. That means that we begin somehow through the process of Him filling us and saturating us, and we have separated ourselves from the fellowship of darkness, and we've separated ourselves from the defilement of sin, and we have given Him or consecrated ourselves. We've had a death to our own will and to our own way, and we've surrendered to God all the claims of our lives, and we somehow, through all of that, have developed in this inward possession and dwelling place to where we love what He loves and hates what He hates. Now that's difficult to see and understand. That's difficult for us to comprehend, for people, humanity to understand. But it's a transformation that takes place when we have given Him the will. Conformity is a big word, and sometimes we like it and sometimes we don't. But the principle of godly living is that of conformity. The principle of ungodly living is that of conformity. It doesn't matter which side you're living, where you're going, what direction you're headed, it's still a life of conformity. Which one are we choosing? Which direction are we deciding to go? Are we going to be conformed to this world? Are we going to be transformed to be conformed to the image of God, to where He dwells in, walks in, and lives in? So saturating our life. The inwardness of His presence then provides an outflow of His person. You could say, as somebody did, it's an outflow or actually an overflow. This person said an overflow of his power. What does that mean to be or to have an overflow of his power? Well, if our life has been marked by Christ and marked by Calvary, then the power to live that marked life is ours. And the power to overcome the enemy of that marked life is ours. Is your life marked by Christ? Is your life marked by Calvary? If your life is marked by Christ and by Calvary, there's some things that will definitely be different. Not just arguably be different. They will be different. One of those things is our vocabulary. Now, that really isn't all that hard this morning, but I'm afraid that we're living in a culture today where the religious groups around us and maybe even infiltrating us have eroded that very thought. But there's really something about the Christian has a different vocabulary than the world. I don't understand. I just don't understand people that claim to be a Christian, and they've claimed to be a Christian for possibly years, and they still have a filthy, filthy, maybe they won't say it themselves, but they'll share it and they'll post it on Facebook. I'm sorry, but if that's what's going on, then you just might as well be saying it. No, I don't want you to, but vocabulary changes. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if God is dwelling, the inward presence of God, the divine, is saturating me or you, then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do we just throw those verses away when we go to talking or texting or typing? Something else that changes drastically in a person's life who is saturated with his presence, and that is his consumption. Consumption. That just simply means what he takes in. What she takes in. Whatever it is that you consume by your eyes or consume by your ears or consume by your nose or consume by your mouth or, you know, whatever you're taking in. If there has been an inward presence saturating you of the divine, then there is an outflow of his person that changes these things. Because if he's saturating us on the inside, then we're not going to be able to flow out anything that defiles, because there's been some kind of a separation sometime in the past that changes that. I've often wondered, and this is something that you can wonder about too. You can pray about it. I've often wondered, could I be convicted by my consistent life of being a Christian? Or would the inconsistencies of my life convict me of not being a Christian? You see, really, when we come down to it, what he's saying, he's giving us this whole thing. He's laying it all out to us, the inner cleansing of sin, the deeper consecration of self, the outward conformity to Christ, and we find it wrapped up in these passages that we've read for 3 or 4 Sundays now, and we've looked at it specifically, step at a time here, and we come to this specific and particular part where he says that we are the temple of the living God. God, meaning that He wants to dwell in us and be in us and among us and walk, so that every step you take is Him walking in you. If you don't know what God hates, take some time this afternoon and look up the abominations and the things that God hates. The Bible tells us. It tells us very clearly those things, those specifics. And we better make sure that those aren't flowing out of us. Because if they're flowing out of us, then we don't have the saturation of His inward presence. What harmony or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the dwelling place of the Most High God. God has said, I want to dwell in them. I want to walk in them, or I will walk in them. I will be their God. Love what He hates. Or love what He loves and hate what He hates. Don't let me confuse you on that. Love what He loves and hate what He hates. Conformity to Him. An outflow of His person or His likeness. His likeness. I've said it before, let me repeat it again. I want God to get out of my life all that Calvary has provided. All that Calvary has provided. He wants to make you and me a temple for Him to dwell in, to walk in, and to allow His presence to flow from. Train yourself to be godly. Surrender all the claims of my life to God. Would you stand with me this morning?